At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Now, as far as following your conversation with Ms. McCabe, what was sort of the next steps that you took on scene?
After I spoke to Ms. McCabe, I advised her that we were going to need to speak with the homeowners. She said that they were probably sleeping. I advised her that we were going to need to speak with them, and that's when I placed the call to the CPAC unit.
And prior to that, when you were on scene, had you seen anyone come in or go out of the residence at 34 Fairview Road?
No.
And as far as sort of the other houses on the street, what, if any, activity did you observe with reference to any residents of those homes coming in or going out of their homes?
I did not observe anybody come in or out of their home.
Following your initial call to see back in conversation with Trooper Proctor, what is it that you did next?
Once that call was complete, Sergeant Good and I observed that there was now a light on in the house of 34 Fairview, and we made the decision to then go in and speak with the homeowners.
And how was it that you sort of proceeded up to the home?
I believe, I don't recall if we used the, I believe we used the driveway, but I'm not 100% sure.
And you came into the home, recall which door that you used to enter the home?
The main door, the front door.
When you entered in through the main door, what, if you could describe to the jury sort of what you observed as far as what was before you from a layout perspective?
There was a staircase right in front of us, and to the right, it entered into like what appeared to be like a dining area.
And who, if anyone, did you speak with inside the home that morning?
Brian Albert and Nicole Albert.
And what, if any, relationship to the home did you determine based on your conversation with them?
They were the homeowners.
Now, Brian Albert, is that someone that you knew prior to January 29th, 2022?
Yes.
And how did you know?
I knew him as the oldest of the Albert brothers.
And did you know some of the other Albert brothers?
Yes.
And let me ask you this, Sergeant. Where did you grow up?
Canton.
And how long have you lived in Canton?
We moved here, excuse me, we moved to Canton when I was 5 years old.
So essentially since you were 5 years old, you live in the town, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you work in the town, correct?
Yes.
do you have children?
I do.
Any of them play sports?
They do.
Objection.
Move sustain.
Move to strike.
Strike that.
What, if any, other sort of, other than living and working in the town, what, if anything else, is it that you do around the town?
I coach youth sports.
And have you done, how long have you done that for?
I would say at least 9 or 10 years.
And how would you describe your relationship with Brian Albert prior to that January 29th, 2022?
Civil.
Are the two of you friends? Do you socialize?
No.
Now, in addition to Brian Albert and Nicole Albert, who, if anyone else, where did you speak to them within the home?
Just inside the door by the staircase.
And how would you describe their demeanor when you were speaking to them?
They appeared, especially Mr. Albert, appeared disheveled, looked like he had just woken up.
And about how long a conversation was it between Brian Albert and Nicole Albert that initial time?
I'd say 15, 20 minutes.
And beyond that, who, if anyone else, did you see within the home besides yourself, Sergeant Goods, and Mr. and Mrs. Albert?
Jennifer McCabe.
No one else at that time?
No.
Are you familiar with a gentleman named Brian Higgins?
I am.
And how are you familiar with him?
I met Brian when he was stationed at our police station. I don't know how many years ago it was, but he was assigned to our building years ago. That's how I met him.
And assigned in what capacity? What I mean by that is what did he do for?
Brian is a ATF agent.
And did you see Mr. Higgins at any point in time during the time that you were at Fairview Road that morning?
Not on my initial response.
So sometime after, is that correct?
Yes.
And when about was that?
That would have been shortly after 9 a.m.
And we'll get to that in a moment. But after your conversation with Brian Albert and Nicole Albert inside the house, what is it that you did that?
Could you repeat that, please?
After talking to the homeowners, what was your next step on scene that day? What did you do next?
After speaking with the family, I came out. By that point, Lieutenant Gallagher was on scene and spoke with Lieutenant Gallagher as to what we were going to do next as far as the scene itself.
And to that end, what, if anything, did you or the other officers do with regard to sort of security of the scene at that time?
So we had put up some crime scene tape to try to protect the scene, but it was a futile effort because of the wind. But there were marked patrol cars in front of the yard at all times, so the scene was fairly secure at all times.
And then, with relation to the scene or the area that you were directed, or your attention was directed to as to where Mr. O'Keefe had been found, what, if anything, did you do with reference to that area?
I stood by and observed while Lieutenant Gallagher used a leaf blower to try to clear the top layers of snow off of the scene.
And at some point in time, that particular process, was that memorialized in any way?
Yes.
Okay, and how was it done so far?
In my report.
Now, I'm sorry, beyond that, was there any sort of photos or video that were taken of that leaf blower process?
Yes. Sergeant Good was able to take video while Lieutenant Gallagher used the leaf blower.
And you've seen that video, is that correct?
Yes.
And what's contained in that video, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of sort of what happened on scene that morning?
Yes.
Now, in addition let me ask you this. As far as the leaf blower was concerned, what was sort of the purpose of that, or what was the thinking behind that?
The purpose behind the leaf blower was to just take the top layers of snow off to reveal what was underneath and try to preserve any potential evidence.
And upon employing that, what, if anything, did you then observe in that area of the front lawn?
Ultimately, we were able to see what appeared to be blood drops in the snow, as well as a drinking glass, cocktail glass.
Now, in addition to the video that was taken with regard to the leaf blowing process, or the use of the leaf blower, were the photos that were taken of the scene as well?
Yes.
And Ms. Gelman, if I could have exhibit number 27. Sergeant Lank, what's up on the screen that's been previously marked as exhibit 27? Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what do you recognize it to be, sir?
I recognize that to be the scene that we were working with the leaf blower.
May I approach the witness, Your
Honor? Yes.
So I'm handing you a laser pointer, basically. It's that simple. Just press on that button and point on
it. Okay. Thank you.
So, Lieutenant Lank, with using that laser pointer, if you could draw the jury's attention to what, if anything, of significance you observe in this photograph in relation to what you saw on scene that day.
So I appear to see blood drops here in the snow that had been revealed by wiping away the top layer, as well as a the glass protruding from the snow.
Thanks. Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Now, at any point in time when you were on scene, did you have any contact or interaction with a person named Karen Reed?
I did not.
Did you see her on scene at all that day?
I don't recall seeing her. I believe she was there while I was there, but I never spoke to her.
Now, following your initial conversation inside the home of 34 Fairview with Brian Albert, Nicole Albert, and speaking to Jennifer McCabe outside, who, if anyone else, did you speak with that arrived on scene that morning?
Matthew McCabe.
And when was it that Matthew McCabe arrived in relation to your arrival and when you spoke to the other people?
Matthew McCabe arrived just a couple of minutes after I had walked out of the house the first time.
And so when he arrived, where did you go?
Moments after he arrived, I went back into the house to speak with Mr. McCabe.
And about how long a conversation was it that you were in the house when you were speaking to Mr. McCabe?
I'm not sure. I'd say maybe 5 minutes.
And over the course of that morning, about how many times did you go into the residence at 34 Fairview Road?
Three.
Anyone ever tell you that you couldn't go into the home or that stopped you at the doorway or anything like that?
No.
And with reference to inside of the home, what, if any, observations did you make of sort of how the home was situated, anything disheveled or anything like that?
Everything appeared in order.
And just if you know, what, if any, relationship does Matthew McCabe have to Jennifer?
Matthew McCabe is Jennifer McCabe's husband.
Now, turning back to what was just up on the screen in Exhibit 27, with regard to those items that you observed in the yard, in the front lawn that day, what, if anything, did you or the other officers do with respect to those items?
The drinking glass was secured into an evidence bag, and the blood drops were secured into six solo cups.
And why were they secured into six solo cups?
We did the best that we could with the situation, with the weather, a deteriorating situation. Lieutenant Gallagher was able to attain the solo cups from Lieutenant Kelleher's house, which was diagonally across the street.
Now, with respect to the CPAC unit or the phone call that you made to the state police, beyond sort of the jurisdiction of them having over unattended deaths and things of that nature, what, if any, other assets do the state police have at their disposal with regard to crime scene that your department does not?
They have crime scene units that process crime scenes.
Now, with respect to those items, once they were secured, just in reference to the solo cups, beyond sort of just putting them into solo cups, what, if anything else, did you or the other officers do to secure those items specifically?
They were secured into a brown evidence bag.
And following them being secured, where did they go from there?
They were then, they were then placed into my truck at that point, my police truck that I was using that day, and ultimately transported back to the police station.
And transported back to the police station by
By me.
And once you were back at the police station with those items, what, if anything, did you do with them at that time?
They were secured into temporary evidence in the refrigerated unit for the Solo cups, and the glass was secured into temporary evidence.
And so when you say temporary evidence, why were they secured into temporary evidence?
They were secured into temporary evidence so that they could ultimately be turned over to the state police.
And as far as when you secure something into temporary evidence, just in general terms, folks, what is it that you do with that item to secure it or label it or anything else?
So it's assigned a property number, and we would print out a property label, and then that's assigned. It's assigned to the OF number, which is the report.
The OF stands for a report. Offense, is that correct?
Offense, yes.
And so each report that you generate has a specific number with an OF following it?
That's correct.
And then that number is associated with the evidence that you secure, correct?
Yes.
Now, with reference to that evidence, whether it's temporary evidence or otherwise, what, if any, restrictions are there with regard to access to those items within your department?
So temporary evidence is accessible to all officers.
And but to officers from your department, correct?
From our department, yes.
And following that, are you aware, or what, if anything, are you aware of what happened with those items after you secured them into temporary evidence?
I believe they were ultimately turned over to the state police.
May I approach the witness?
Yes.
Sir, I'm handing you up a box. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that to be?
Appears to be a box to secure evidence with a call number on it.
And is that a box that you've seen earlier today?
Yes.
And with reference to what's contained within the box, have you seen that this morning as well?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask that the witness be allowed to take what's in the box out of the box.
Okay.
Sir, just for the record, you have some evidence gloves with you in court today, is that correct?
That's correct.
Just with reference to the bag that you have before you, what, if any, markings are on that that relate to sort of your case, your case number with Kansas Police?
So it is a there's a case number assigned to us, 22-87OF, and there is a property number, 22-18PR, and it's listed as broken drinking glass.
And have you seen the item contained within that bag earlier this morning as well?
Yes.
And what you observed within that bag, is that the piece of the cocktail glass that you observed on the front yard area of 34 Fairview Road on January 29th, 2022?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask that the witness be allowed to take it out of the bag and display it to the jury.
Okay. Good.
You can place it back in the bag.
Okay.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth will seek to introduce and admit as an exhibit.
Yes. The 45. Mm-hmm.
Now, Lieutenant Lenk, once you were back at the police station, what, if any, call did you receive from anyone in regard to what had... Who, if anyone, called you once you were back at the station?
Jennifer McCabe called at 9 a.m.
And where did you go following that phone call with Jennifer McCabe?
Lieutenant Gallagher and I went back to 34 Fairview Road.
So this is now the third time that you've gone back and gone inside the residence at 34 Fairview Road, is that correct?
That's correct.
And who, if anyone, did you speak with along with yourself and Lieutenant Gallagher once you returned there that morning?
Jennifer McCabe.
Okay. About how long a period of conversation was that second conversation that you had with Ms. McCabe?
Between 5 and 10 minutes.
And then following that, where did you go from there?
Returned to the police station.
Now, if I could turn your attention to February 4th of 2020. Were you working on that day?
I was.
And in the same capacity that you had described earlier?
Yes.
And at some point, well, approximately 8:50 a.m. or so, who, if anyone, calls you on that?
Lieutenant Gallagher.
And what, if anything, or where did he direct you to go during the course of that conversation?
Lieutenant Gallagher directed me to go back to 34 Fairview Road and meet with Chief Berkowitz as he had possibly discovered more evidence.
And in the time between January 29th and February 4th, had you gone back to 34 Fairview Road at any point?
No.
Now, between that time of January 29th, 2022, and February 4th of 2022, what, if anything, occurred in regard to the weather in between those days?
So the weather had, the temperatures had increased, and there was some rain.
And increased, if you know, how approximately how much?
I believe it made it up to the mid-40s.
So well above freezing, is that correct?
Correct.
And with regard to the snowfall that had come from the 28th and the 29th, what, if anything, just in general, had you, well, not in general, specifically to 34 Fairview Road, what, if anything, did you observe between the snow that you observed there on the 29th and the snow that you observed there on February 4th?
A lot of the snow had melted and a lot of the ground had been revealed.
And when you arrived at 34 Fairview Road on February 4th, what, if anything, did you observe and where did you observe?
Chief Berkowitz brought my attention to a piece of red glass that was about six to eight feet off the into the yard.
Now, before we get to that, as far as when you responded, who, if anyone else from your department, responded along with you?
Detective Tim Taylor.
And the pieces of plastic that you observed, where were they in relation to where you had observed or where you had been directed to that Mr. O'Keefe had been found on January 29th?
The glass was in the vicinity of where Mr. O'Keefe had been discovered.
Now, with respect to that pieces of plastic that you observed, what, if anything, did you do to memorialize where they were?
I photographed the piece of plastic as it sat.
And did you or anyone in your presence touch, manipulate, or move those pieces of plastic in any way?
No.
And at some point after you arrived on scene, who, if anyone, did you contact in regard to securing those items?
I contacted the CPAC unit and... Ultimately, Trooper Buchanan arrived back at the scene.
And if you know about how much time elapsed between the time that you contacted CPAC and the time that panic arrived?
I honestly don't recall.
And when Trooper Buchanan arrived on scene, what, if anything, did you observe him to do with those pieces of plastic that you directed his attention to?
Trooper Buchanan secured the item into a evidence bag.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sir, I'm showing you two photographs. I ask you just briefly to look them over and look up when you're finished. Do you recognize those, sir?
I do.
What do you recognize in those photographs?
I recognize this to be the piece of plastic that Chief Berkowitz had observed on that morning.
And those are the photographs that you took that morning as well, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what's contained in those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed on February 4th, 2022?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth seek to introduce and admit as the next two exhibits.
Okay.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could, I have first of those photographs up on the screen. And, Lieutenant Lang, do you recognize what's depicted up on the screen currently?
Yes.
And this is sort of a further out image of that piece of plastic you were talking about, is that correct?
Yes.
And using the laser pointer before you, if you could just draw the jury's attention to where in the photograph you observe that piece of plastic. Thank you. Ms. Gilman, the next photograph. And sir, do you again recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes, it's a close-up picture of the piece of plastic.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, you can. If I may have.
Yes. Jackson?
Thank you, Your Honor. May we approach briefly?
Sure. All right, jurors, so you're about to hear evidence of an event that happened in 2002. This evidence can be considered by you insofar as it demonstrates or relates to the credibility of this witness and the thoroughness of the investigation into this case for which the defendant is currently on trial before you folks. You may use this evidence to the extent that you find it credible in deciding whether there was any bias or favoritism on the part of the police in their investigation in this case.
May I?
Mr. Jackson, yes.
Lieutenant Lank, I want to start by asking you about your relationship with certain members of the Albert family. Do you know any other members of the Albert family other than Brian Albert?
Yes.
Can you describe who those are?
Kevin Albert, who is a detective on our department. Chris Albert. And uh, I, I know Tim Albert.
Are those three individuals brothers?
Yes.
Who is the eldest brother?
Brian.
How long have you known, I want to start first with Tim Albert. How long have you known Tim Albert?
I knew Tim Albert when he was a kid because he was friends with a younger brother of a friend of mine.
Starting at what age?
12. He was 12. I was probably 16 or so.
Okay. So the better part of your life, you've known Tim Albert?
Since about 16, I would say.
And what about Chris Albert?
Chris Albert I've known since junior high.
Which would be about what age?
13, 14.
You grew up
12,
with Chris?
12, 13. I was friendly with Chris from junior high through high school and into our 20s.
And friendly with Tim?
I wouldn't say. I was friendly to say hello to Tim. I didn't associate with him. He was younger. He was Chris's younger brother.
But you also knew Chris's older brother, Brian.
Yes.
Back in those days.
I knew who he was.
So you've known the three of them for basically your entire life?
No. I had met them. I had met Brian. I didn't know him other than just being Chris's older brother when we were younger kids.
Certainly with regard to Chris, you would consider him a close friend.
Consider who a close friend?
Chris.
Yes.
First names only because they're all
sure. Sure. Chris and I were pretty good friends when we were younger, yes.
I want to draw your attention to an incident in August of 2002. Do you remember an incident in 2002 occurring with that involved Chris Albert?
Yes.
In 2002, in August of 2002 specifically, you were off duty, correct?
Yes.
You had been drinking alcohol, correct?
Yes.
You were approached by Chris Albert out in the parking lot, is that right?
That's correct.
And Chris Albert told you some information about being in a fight, that he had been in a fight or an altercation of some sort, correct?
He told me he had been in an altercation earlier in the night and some threats had been made to him and his family.
And you got out of your car and discussed this with Mr. Albert, correct?
No.
You just talked to him while you were seated in your car?
Yes.
Okay. At some point, did some other individuals approach that same area?
Yes.
Was there a fight that you believed was about to ensue?
Yes.
Did you get out of your car at that point?
I did.
Did you come to Chris's aid by, quote unquote, activating yourself as an officer?
I got out of my car and I approached the group and I pleaded with them to not fight tonight. I said, there's not going to be a fight tonight. There's six of you guys. He's here with his girlfriend. There's not going to be a fight tonight.
Did you come to Chris Albert's aid as best you could as a longtime friend of his?
I came to the aid of a citizen who was in fear and in need.
That citizen happened to be Chris Albert, whom you had known since you were 12 years old.
Correct.
Ultimately, a fight did break out, did it not?
Yes.
And you engaged in that fight?
Yes.
And again, you had been drinking alcohol at that point, correct?
Correct.
And you were off duty in August of 2002 during this fight?
Yes.
Just like you were off duty in 2022 when you were called by Sergeant Good to activate and come to the crime scene at 34 Fairview.
When Sergeant Good contacted me, I was not working. I was due to work at 7:45 that morning. When Sergeant Good contacted me and told me what was going on, then I activated myself and came to work because I was the detective sergeant.
And that's similar sort of activation, using that word in air quotes, a similar sort of activation that you employed back in 2002 to assist Chris Albert.
No.
You did, in fact, call for someone to call the police and get some Canton officers over there, correct?
Excuse me, so in 2002?
In 2002.
Yes.
Okay, and I failed to ask you this, but in 2002, you were, in fact, a Canton police officer.
Yes.
At the time. After the other officers arrived, did you order the other officers to handcuff or somehow restrain one of the two brothers that were involved in this fight with Chris?
No.
Ultimately, did you see whether or not those officers handcuffed or otherwise restrained one of the brothers that was involved in this fight?
Yes.
And did you then engage physically in a fight with the other brother who was not restrained?
No. The struggle had already occurred.
All right. So let me make sure I get the timing right. You did, in fact, engage in a physical fight with one of the brothers, correct?
Upon being struck, yes.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Upon being struck, yes.
And then you struck him back?
Yes.
You ended up on the ground?
Yes, we were wrestling, yes.
And ultimately, the other officers had to pull you off that man, correct?
No.
You ultimately, the fight was broken up between you and the other brother. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. And that fight was broken up by the officers who were on scene?
Yes.
All right. After this physical altercation with the brother who was not ultimately restrained, both of the brothers and everybody else was just told by the officers, just go away. Get out of here, go home, correct?
No, I believe one of the brothers left the scene, fled the scene, and the brother that was restrained was ultimately uncuffed and left free to go.
And nobody was arrested that night?
Correct.
Nobody chased down the brother that left the scene, correct?
That's correct.
And nobody arrested the brother that had been handcuffed?
Correct.
And no police reports were written by you or any of the other officers about this incident on that night?
I don't recall when the other officers wrote theirs. I did not write mine on that night.
The next day, you became aware that one or both of the brothers had arrived at Canton Police Department to file a formal complaint for having been physically attacked by you and some of the other officers involved, correct?
I don't recall when I was made aware that they had come down to the police station.
You are aware that there was a complaint sought against you for the physical attack that was alleged to have occurred, correct?
It was brought to my attention that they had come down to the police station.
And you also are aware that only after that complaint had been sought, the police reports were then dated and filed against the two brothers, correct?
So I had spoken to the sergeant on duty the night of the incident.
No question. I'm just looking at time.
It's not a yes or no question.
So he was just asking you about dates. So can you answer the question? Ask the question
Could
about the dates again, please.
I'm seeking the chronology of events. The fight occurs, a complaint against you occurs, and then police reports are filed against the two people that are complaining against you. Is that the chronology?
Yes.
And you're also aware that although he had been in a physical fight that night, no charges were ever brought against Chris Albert, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
Do you know that?
I don't know. I don't even know where the fight occurred.
Officer Lang, what we just talked about, is that an example of you using your position as a police officer to come to the aid of one of the members of the Albert family?
It was me coming to the aid of a citizen who was terrified and scared for him and his family on that night. Who happened to be Chris Albert.
You mentioned Kevin Albert. Who is he?
Kevin Albert is a detective with the Canton Police.
Is he a co-worker?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
Probably since 14, 15 years old.
And you also consider him to be a friend as well as a co-worker?
I do.
And a colleague?
Yes.
And you're also well aware, I mean, you've said it already, he's the little brother of Brian Albert.
Correct.
And you're also aware that the reason that your department was ultimately recused from this investigation, Lieutenant Lank, is because of a perceived bias or conflict of interest between the Albert family and the Canton Police Department, correct?
Yes, there was a perceived bias.
Okay. Can you tell me one more time, and now I want to fast forward to the incident in question. What was the exact time that you arrived at the location, if you know?
I believe it was around 6:24, 6:25.
Okay. And you indicated that that was in response to a call that you got from Sergeant Good.
Yes, that's correct.
What made you decide, or did you, could you have decided, to take this particular call? Was it up to you, in other words?
I would never not take that call.
Okay, fair enough. So once you got the call, you knew that you were going to respond because there was something very serious afoot.
Correct.
Did you know at the time you got the call that that very serious incident was occurring at 34 Fairview?
No.
When did you realize that?
Upon speaking with Sergeant Good.
Okay, so Sergeant Good didn't, I guess that's what I'm, maybe I asked an inartful question. I was asking whether or not Sergeant Good told you before you actually arrived, he sort of had to have, that it's at 34 Fairview.
He did.
Okay. At that point, did a light bulb go off and you think to yourself, bing, that's the Albert House?
I don't recall if I realized it then or once I turned onto the street. I don't recall.
At some point before your car came to a stop, you knew this is 34 Fairview, this is the Albert household.
I knew that that was Brian Albert's house, yes.
When you arrived, who was the ranking officer at the scene? You mentioned, obviously we've heard these names, Sergeant Good, it was Officer Mullaney, it was Officer Seraph, you. Who was the ranking officer?
When I arrived, Sergeant Good was the ranking officer.
Have you reviewed either, well, let me ask a different question. Did you have a dash cam in the vehicle that you arrived in?
I did not.
And that's because it was was that a detective vehicle?
Yes.
Sometimes used undercover, et cetera?
Yes.
So it's not a fully marked cruiser?
No, not at all.
The other cruisers you're aware did have dash cams, correct?
Yes.
Have you reviewed any or all of those dash cams from Officer Mullaney, Officer Seraph, Sergeant Good?
Yes.
And you reviewed those in preparation for your testimony?
Yes.
I'd like to show you what's been previously marked as Exhibit 16. And I'm going to ask Mr. Bates if you could fast forward that to about the runtime of about, 28:35 or so, with the court's permission?
Yes.
Before we play this, it appears to be a still image of...
So let's not describe it.
Sure. What do you see on the screen?
I see two still images.
Okay. Do you recognize either or both of those images?
Yes.
How do you recognize them?
It looks like the scene from that morning. I believe it's going to be the top one anyways, 683, Officer Seraph's cruiser.
And the bottom one?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Looks like possibly Sergeant Good's based on where it's placed.
Okay. If we could fast forward. To the 28:40 mark or so. Mr. Bates, and play that. And let's pause it for a second. Your Honor, may we approach briefly?
Okay.
You indicated that you have reviewed these videos in anticipation of your testimony today, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to direct your attention to the top video, and specifically to an area right around this area in the video, which is highlighted. Before we play, a couple of foundational questions. Did you meet with Jennifer McCabe out behind the vehicle that's depicted in the Officer Seraph dash cam?
Yes.
Did you have some sort of a conversation with her?
I did.
At some point, did you see Ms. McCabe leave your presence and walk toward the driveway?
Once the conversation had terminated, I honestly don't recall where she went.
Did she tell you that she intended to go inside the house?
I had said to her that at some point we were going to need to speak to Brian and Nicole.
Why did you think it was important to speak to Brian and Nicole?
Because it's their property.
And somebody was laying in the snow, unconscious and unresponsive, correct?
Correct.
And obviously that could potentially, at least, implicate people inside the house.
Based on my conversation with Ms. McCabe, she had stated that the intention was for Mr. O'Keefe to join them at that house, so I wanted to get statements from everybody who was there.
Find out what happened, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that's sort of the obvious initial point of an investigation. Find out who the witnesses are and interview all of them, correct?
Correct.
And you began by talking to Ms. McCabe?
Yes.
Knowing that she was a potential witness at least, correct?
She identified herself as a friend of Mr. O'Keefe.
Who had been with Mr. O'Keefe just hours before?
Yes.
He ended up laying in the snow fighting for his life, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And you also knew that there were other witnesses potentially inside the house because she just told you that, right?
I knew that was ultimately where he was supposed to end up.
So if there were other individuals in the house, they also were potential witnesses?
Potentially.
And Ms. McCabe indicated, I'm going to go in the house, correct?
I had told her that she's going to have to wake her sister up because we're going to need to speak with them.
You didn't think that it was more important to separate the witnesses and not let her talk to other witnesses?
No.
You thought that it was appropriate to let all the witnesses get together and just discuss the facts before you had an opportunity to interview them separately?
Jackson.
Stand as to the form.
I'm just letting the siren go out.
That's fine.
Lieutenant Lank, if you could direct your attention to the area that I highlighted earlier. Let's go ahead and play the video. Did you see anything occur at or around the car in the distance?
It appears to be somebody walking towards the house.
Was that Jen McCabe?
I can't say for sure.
Do you see yourself, by the way, in this video?
Yes.
Where are you?
Right here.
Okay. You've described I don't know if it's tan
it's,
or gray.
It's a gray North Face jacket when it's black on the top.
Okay, toward the shoulders?
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and play the video and I'll indicate another stopping place that I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about. Go, no, sorry. I'm standing in front of someone. Did you see another person? Shorter in stature, approach you?
I believe right there. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Who is that?
I believe it's Kerry Roberts.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play it. How's it? Did you see yourself just exit screen right?
Yes.
Did it appear that you had something in your hand?
Yes.
You were taking a call?
Yes.
On your cell phone?
Yes.
What was that call?
I don't recall. It could have, I can't see what time that is. I don't believe that I made the call to the CPAC unit until around 6:38, so I'm not sure who that call is to was from.
If you'll direct your attention, I think, now down toward the camera below.
Yes.
You may see yourself enter the frame. Can we go ahead and play it? Go ahead and pause it. Does it appear you're on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Did it appear that you walked off screen left?
Yes.
Still on the phone?
Yes.
Go ahead. Pause it. Did you see somebody following that same direction?
It looked like Officer Sarif.
Go ahead and play it.
Actually, I'm wrong because that's Officer Sarif right there, so I'm incorrect.
You think it might have been Sergeant Good?
Could we play it back?
With the court's permission.
Sure, go ahead.
Recognize that person?
Yes, I'm mistaken. That's Sergeant Good.
Okay, go ahead. Does it appear that you've walked back into the frame?
Yes.
Are you followed by anybody?
I believe it's still Sergeant Good.
Are you speaking to Sergeant Good or are you walking away from him? Or can you tell?
In that frame, it appears I'm standing right next to him.
Okay, let's go ahead and play it. Pause it. Did it appear you were sort of walking away from Sergeant Good off frame again?
Yes, it appears that I'm pacing.
Were you still on the phone?
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead. Pause it. Directing your attention to the top video. Do you see the SUV in the video?
Yes.
Does that SUV appear to be leaving the scene?
Yes.
Do you know who was in that video? In that SUV?
I believe it's going to be Kerry Roberts and Karen Reed.
Okay, go ahead and play it. At that point, are you walking back into the frame on the lower video?
Yes.
At this point, Lieutenant, are the lights on the at 34 Fairview on or off?
They still appear to be off.
And at some point while you were at the scene, did the lights come on? I think you testified to that earlier.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to pay special attention to that moment and maybe tell me to stop when you see those lights come on. It may be a minute or so.
Sure.
At this point, does it appear that you're still on the phone?
Yes.
Thank you. cause it? At this point, is there anything that changed in the scene?
Yes.
What's that?
It appears that there's now a light on inside the home.
And at this point, Ms. McCabe has been inside the house for approximately how long, if you could estimate?
Maybe three minutes.
And are you still on the phone? Or have you gotten off, have you ended that call?
I can't tell if I'm still on the phone at that point. I know that right around this time is when I end up speaking to the CPAC unit, because I believe I get into the vehicle.
Let's play just a little bit further forward, maybe another 30 seconds or so. Does it appear at this point, if you can see, does it appear that you've ended that call, or at least your hands are down by your side?
I can't tell.
Okay. You would agree with me. That's all I have for that. You would agree with me that that was, without counting the seconds, that was about a five-minute phone call, or maybe a little better than 5 minutes?
I wasn't watching, to be honest.
Do you have any idea who you were talking to now that you've seen that?
I could make an educated guess, but I don't know for sure.
You did notice that several minutes after Jen McCabe went in the house, and while you were on that phone call, the lights finally came on at 34 Fairview, correct?
Correct.
At the point the lights came on, the ladder truck had already gone, left from the scene, correct?
I believe so.
The firefighters are all gone.
Yes.
The ambulance has already left and transported Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes.
The paramedics are gone, the EMTs?
Yes.
Fire captain and his SUV, that's gone. Is that right?
I'm sorry, was there a question?
The fire captain and his SUV, that's gone.
I'm not sure.
In other words, all the fire and EMTs have...
I don't see them on camera.
Doesn't appear that any fire or EMTs are still on scene, correct?
Doesn't appear so.
Carrie Roberts is gone.
Yes.
Karen Reed is gone.
Yes.
So when the only parties left at the scene are members of the Albert family, Jen McCabe, and the Canton Police Department representatives, that's when the lights inside 34 Fairview finally came on.
Okay.
Is that yes?
Yes.
And then minutes after that call, you did then speak to CPAC, to dispatch, correct?
CPAC dispatch.
Right, I was getting to that. It was a dispatch, and the dispatch was to CPAC, not to Canton PD.
Correct.
And at some point, did CPAC dispatch indicate that they were on their way, they had declined the call? What was that call all about?
So there are two separate calls.
Action, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Who did you talk to at CPAC?
I don't recall who handled the first call at dispatch.
Okay. Do you remember having a conversation with Kelly Dever?
No.
Okay.
I think we're talking about two different things. I'm talking about CPAC dispatch, not Canton Police dispatch.
Okay. Fair enough. At some point, did you have a conversation with... Well, let me ask it this way. I just don't know. Did you talk to both Canton Dispatch and CPAC Dispatch?
I definitely spoke to CPAC Dispatch. I'm not sure if I spoke to Canton Dispatch or not.
All right. At some point, did you say, did you indicate to one or the other, I'm responding to 34 Fairview. We have a Boston police officer who was just found.
I stated that I was already at 34 Fairview.
You indicated that he does have some trauma to his head area, correct?
That's correct.
And you said, quote, I'm not sure if he's been in a fight or whatever. Our medics don't believe he's going to make it.
Correct.
End quote. Sergeant Lank, you never saw John O'Keefe's body, correct?
Correct.
So somebody disclosed to you that it appeared that he had been in a, quote, fight or whatever, at least at that point. That was your thought?
No.
And what made you say, well, you didn't say to dispatch, the victim appears to have been shot, correct?
Correct.
You didn't say it appeared he'd been stabbed?
No.
He had been strangled?
No.
You didn't say it appeared he'd been hit by a car?
Correct.
You said it appeared that he'd been in a fight or whatever, correct?
I stated that he had some trauma to his head, and I said, I don't know if he has been in a fight, and then I believe I described it as a, I don't remember my exact terminology, but it was a crazy scene.
Chaotic scene?
Possibly. I don't recall my exact words, something to that effect.
But you do recall your exact words to dispatch being, I don't know if he's been in a fight or whatever.
Correct.
Okay. I want to talk about inside the house for just a few minutes, if I could. You've talked extensively about the crime scene outside, and we'll get to that in a second, but I want to talk about what did or did not happen inside the house. Did you actually make it inside the house at some point?
Yes.
Okay. When was that? How long? Let's use Jennifer McCabe as the time frame. How long after that did you finally go inside the house, after she had been in the house?
So it was specifically just after I got off the phone with CPAC.
So just a few minutes after we ended that video?
Yes.
And you walked either, you said, either along the driveway or through the yard?
I believe it was up the driveway.
Okay. Once you went in the house, you made contact with the individuals in the house, correct?
Yes.
And you believed, at least at that point, that there was a potential, that there was a, let me rephrase that. You knew that you were dealing with a violent incident. Correct?
No.
You thought maybe it was just a heart attack?
I didn't know what it was. At that point in time, I didn't know what it was. Could have been a multitude of things.
But what was going through your mind at that point was it could have been a fight or whatever, because he had trauma to his head. Those were your words.
Those were my words, yes.
Okay. So you didn't think it was like some old man who died of old age, right?
Based on his age, no, I wouldn't have suspected that.
You didn't think it was an accidental drowning or something?
Again, it could have been a multitude of things that caused those injuries. So at that point in time, we had no idea what we were looking at.
But you were aware that it had something to do with a violent incident. He had trauma to his face and he's unconscious, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Did you believe that there were any indicators that Mr. O'Keefe had been involved in some sort of a physical altercation?
Possibly.
Okay. And that's because you used the phrase, he had trauma to his face and head, right?
That's what I had been told, yes.
So based on what you had been told, you knew that there was a person laying out unconscious just outside a residence that may have been involved in a physical altercation. That's fair.
It's a possibility, yes. But again, there were a multitude of things that were going through my head as possibilities.
But that's one of the premier possibilities, right?
I wouldn't say it's premier. It was one of the possibilities.
And it's logical to believe that if a fight had occurred, very well may have started inside the residence 30 feet away.
Excuse me. Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Did you believe in your mind that it was possible, given the fact that a violent confrontation was possible in your mind, that it could have started inside the house?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we approach?
Yes.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.